You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey everybody, Neil Schaefer here. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. While I tend to introduce a lot of marketers to these conversations that we're having, Amanda really has this broad network of amazing entrepreneurs, business leaders that add something extremely relevant to our understanding of influence. And I think today we're going to get a little glimpse as to what does influence look like, not just in the future, but in the now. Some exciting information that's going to come forth. Amanda, I'll hand it over to you for the introduction.
Thanks, Neil. So today we have somebody with a really relevant and timely background. He was formerly the EVP of digital at Universal, and now he is the CMO and CBO for a fan-focused NFT platform called Chronicle. And we connected actually over both teaching in business school, but also over an NFT project on how brands can use NFTs for marketing and influence of the future. So I'm really pleased to introduce Doug Neal. Doug, it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Amanda and Neil, for inviting me on. I appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about your backstory, the shift, especially from a company like Universal to something that's a little bit more nouveau, which is NFT, which a lot of people don't even understand what they are or how to use them. That might seem like what caused that transition?
Well, I'll take you back a few years when I was kind of in the more classic studio world, entertainment world. I was 2006, I joined Universal Pictures to lead their digital marketing effort. And at that time, you know, remember, there was no Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. Was really just a private video service where people were uploading pictures of their cats. And there was no Snapchat or TikTok or, you know, the digital boom had not happened at that point. And so I was in the right place at the right time in terms of working for a movie studio, getting to market films and campaigns for major motion pictures, and getting to take advantage of what was happening in the digital space. The advent of broadband really changed everything when suddenly you could have video available on your phone. Steve Jobs turning phones into computers was revolutionary when you think about that. And so from, you know, 2010 through 2020, that revolution at Universal. And got to see just all the power that digital has and what it can do for a company. We transformed completely as a movie studio, going from not really leveraging digital as fully, because it just wasn't that developed yet, to it becoming an integral part of every campaign and often leading the marketing efforts by the time that I had left in 2020. So I have a very strong digital background in terms of understanding digital marketing, understanding consumers, the connection that you have, where people are, the development of audiences. I took a little bit of time past year, which is how we got to know each other a little bit, was I started teaching at UCLA. I teach at the Anderson School of Business there in the graduate program. I teach a digital marketing course and an entertainment marketing course. And during that time, I've been just keeping up to speed on what's been going on in kind of just business. And about 5 months ago, somebody that I knew from Universal reached out to me. This was a contact that I had made when we were working on the Jurassic World campaign. This gentleman was our super fan for Jurassic World that we had hired. He's based in Perth, Australia. His name's Tim Glover. And he and a colleague had become the super fans for the movie. And they knew everything about Jurassic World, the whole canon, the history. Like, you could ask them what happened in Jurassic World 3 or in that first book, and they would know all the details. And we worked with them to actually become a marketing aspect for us. Anyway, Tim, fast forward to this year, following the NFT world and realized there's a lot of new opportunity out there. I think the NFT space, and NFTs, for anybody who isn't aware, is called as a non-fungible token. It means it is something that can't change, that it is locked. And we can talk more about the blockchain, but it is something that is pure and authentic. And this token is, the market for these tokens was exploding earlier this year. And he realized nobody's thinking about the fans in terms of what they're building and how brands can connect with their fans in the NFT space. And so he built a business plan. He raised a couple $1 million. He reached out to me and said, hey, would you be interested in working with us? And as I got into it, I realized, well, there is really an opportunity here. I don't have a startup background. I don't come from that. I like the spirit of entrepreneurs, but it's a whole different world than working in the corporate sector. And I am learning that very quickly and appreciating what it really takes to be an entrepreneur and kind of how you have to kind of shift just your thinking and your ability to make decisions. But it's also kind of fun, too.
That's a whole episode in itself, the shift from corporate, right? So, you know, and that's something we've been talking about is how do brands, like, it's kind of blurry in terms of people talk about this use of NFTs and the NFTs for growing your brand. And how can a brand, like, could you walk us through an example of, like, what does it mean for a brand? How could a brand use NFTs for marketing or specifically, especially with, like, influencer marketing? And how creators can use them?
It's a great question, because I think a lot of brands are trying to figure this out right now. We all read the headlines and you see the Beeple auction that recently sold for $67 million. And there are NFT drops from big celebrities or sports stars or athletes that are regularly getting $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, which that is happening. But that's a hard strategy for a brand to I think get their head around, because those are really one-off opportunities. Coca-Cola had a NFT drop they did this summer, and it was a really creative execution. It had a lot of, like, nostalgia in kind of the what they did with the NFT. They actually also gave away a refrigerator as part of the one-off NFT drop, but they did it as a charity. They did it as where all the proceeds from their NFT drop went to Special Olympics. And they ended up making, I think, $570,000, which is great. That's a one-off solution. I think as I'm talking to brands and as I'm hearing feedback from colleagues and others that are out there, I think brands have to think about it in the long term as to how can they tell their story and create a marketplace and energy and excitement in this collectibles world around what they represent. Now, brands have fans. Fans like to identify around the brands. You know, we all know people who buy a t-shirt with the logo on it. They buy a sign to hang in their house. There we go. We're looking at Neil's shirt that he has a Lucky brand on. And they like to be identified with these brands. That's why, you know, Coca-Cola, as an example, has millions and millions of fans on Facebook, because people like to say, I'm a fan of that. NFTs give them an opportunity to kind of take that fanship into the digital space and to give fans ownership in their world. And so they have to be very strategic about what it is they want to extend. Now, maybe it's sometimes as simple as just creating a series of logos that somebody could buy as an NFT, and then they feel like they own a piece of that company because they have that authenticated collectible. It could be a moment. You know, you see some of the, I think it's Dapper Labs and NBA Top Shops. They've been taking, like, classic sports highlights moments where, you know, so that dunk that was done in a championship game, and they'll auction that off. And so there are things that fans want to gravitate to. But I think as a brand, you have to think about what it is that the fan wants to connect with. What is it that's going to get them excited? And then look at ways to manifest that with what you create in the digital space.
It sounds like, because it's not real, like you're not really getting what you're basically getting a certain, to put it in like super layman terms, which was one of the first things that helped me understand, just for people listening that are still like, I still don't understand what they're getting, is it's like a modern day ticket to a concert or a show, right? That ticket is, you buy the ticket with the assumption that it's going to be worth the value of whatever you placed on it. You bought it for, you know, if you think the concert's worth, you know, $100, or if you think it's worth $10,000. And once you cash it in, it's no longer valuable. So you have this like kind of like a certificate of, does it play on, like, to me, it plays on people's status. Is that like a thing with fans? Cause I would think it's more for luxury brands, like luxury brands trying to, or a certain kind of brand trying to create exclusivity or scarcity, that to say, I have this, I'm the owner of XX, because it's not even real. So there's no like actual, it's kind of like this metaverse.
It certainly is like the metaverse, but I think that it actually expands from all levels of fandom. There's certainly the luxury brands, and I think that plays into the scarcity and exclusivity that can be created within the NFT space. But fandom is also, you know, if you look at the success of some of the games like Minecraft or...
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, yeah.
But some of these, you know, the in-app purchases that are made are in the billions, where... in some of these games, people are just buying for a digital weapon or a digital avatar or a costume. And I think that's really the shift that has taken place, in that, you know, we are a digital world where a lot of the way we express ourselves is through what we are collecting or how we are personifying ourselves in the digital space. So for a fan who might be a fan of like Marvel Studios and the Avengers, they're doing a whole series of NFTs around some of their top characters and some of the iconry that's associated with those characters. And it's, you know, priced, you know, $25, $50, $75 to make it more accessible for their fans to be able to come in and to have something that relates to that. I can see as well for like the premium brands, you know, if your Moët champagne, and you had one bottle of champagne that you had, and you had a 3D rendering of it, it's kind of like that only bottle that's out there, and you just sold one of those as auction item, that could potentially sell for $100,000. And as because somebody would have be the only person that owns that. That's a concept that is hard to kind of grasp at first. I had trouble with it, that because of the authentication of the blockchain, that there is only one of those that are out there. So that even though people can copy that champagne bottle, it's not the original. It's not the authenticated one. You're the person that only owns that. And that's what creates that value. And sometimes that value is minted in quantities of 1,000, but even 1,000 in a world of 9 or 8 billion people, that's a pretty small quantity that's out there that you own. So that scarcity is really important in just creating that value.
So Doug, I'm just curious. I'm sort of with Amanda, not in like the NFT world. It would seem that just as you have people that own cryptocurrency, and it's a virtual currency on a blockchain that's in some sort of digital wallet, that these people, it's easier for them to buy digital tokens, to buy NFTs. Would you say that most people that are in cryptocurrency are the ones buying the NFTs, or do you have people, because it is not tangible, right? And although I agree that in-app purchases, and my son, big Rams fan, he bought the Jared Goff skin for Fortnite, which was, you know, Goff's now gone. He's still got the Rams skin. But yeah, I totally get that. And I get the authentication and the value of that. And I also understand true fans want a piece of the action. They want a piece of the brand. And that makes sense too. But just in terms of investing in something that's intangible, Would you say most people are already investing in cryptocurrency, or is it a different type of person, maybe like a younger demographic? Or have you ever done any studies on who are actually investing in NFTs?
The data I've seen is, as said, about familiarity with NFTs is about 40% of millennials. So there is an audience that is aware of them. I think to your point, Neil, and I think you're right, is that the activity that's taking place in the NFT space right now is really familiar with cryptocurrencies. And that's kind of how that speculation and the driving up of prices and NFTs really as an investment that people are buying NFTs often from their crypto wallets with the expectation that it can be an investment that they can then flip and sell and make some money on. I will say what I'm doing with my company Chronicle is that we're trying to kind of expand that universe. Our marketplace only operates in US dollars. So you are buying an NFT with a dollar because we want to make it accessible for fans, because it does take a little bit to figure out how to get a MetaMask and to get a digital wallet, and then to how much Ethereum I need to have in order to pay the gas fees so that I can get into an exchange and get my tokens. And the average fan really doesn't have that tolerance necessarily to kind of go through all those steps. And so there is a very active marketplace that is the crypto world. We're taking a bet, and who knows whether it's the right bet or not, but we're taking a bet that there's a whole world of fans out there that are going to want those authenticated digital collectibles, and they just need it to be an easy way to access it. And so it's kind of a bifurcated strategy, because most of the activity right now is in the crypto space. But ultimately, you know, 5 years from now, I think that the conversation is going to flip, and everybody's going to have the ability to buy NFTs, whether they'll really want to or not, I don't know. But I think it's a little bit like music. You take music 20 years ago, I was buying albums and CDs and having, you know, stacks of them at my house. Everything's on my phone now, you know, and now everything is actually streamed on Spotify. It's like same with photography. It's like you used to have a camera with film and you would take pictures and you'd get it developed and you put it in a scrapbook. Everything's on your phone. And I think kind of the collectibles is kind of a natural progression for that you have the opportunity to kind of identify, you know, Coke is my favorite drink. And I have this one of a kind 1950s Coke icon that is all mine. And I'm going to share it on my social media. And you know, down the road, I think there's going to be projection systems that allow you to actually take NFTs and create galleries at home of your NFTs. And so I think it's going to expand. But to your original question, the crypto world is really where a lot of the activity is right now.
But I also grant, and I grew up collecting, you know, Topps baseball cards, that it's limited. Collectibles are a limited market. Whereas NFTs, you can provide unlimited moments like that Kobe Bryant iconic slam or whatever it is, right? And that is an advantage that a true fan wants anything and everything. And it's limited, right? Maybe you find something on eBay here and there, but that is the potential to increase the supply. And if that means digital only, in the way that you said it, to make it easy to purchase in US dollars, I agree there's huge potential there. Even if it's 0.01%, but if they're true fans, they'll spend $20, $50, $100, $250, and that adds up.
You know, I imagine, I don't know whether you've ever been to Comic-Con down in San Diego.
I haven't, but I've heard all about it, yeah.
Fan Fest, sometimes called Nerd Fest. It's a, you know, I imagine a day, and they go through the hall. There's all kinds of collectible items that are there that they are purchasing and one of a kind, and they will still be there. But I imagine a day where they'll be showing on their phone, look what I got. I got this, you know, NFT that I'm one of a kind.
It's a certain mark. I think it's like no different than anything else. It's like knowing your audience and what's of value to them.
Because
like, you know, you've got the sports fans. So I understand the bit of the sports fans more than I understand sort of the Comic-Con video gaming. But then I understand even more so like a luxury brand or even a wine collector, which actually Neil's brother has a winery. And like, Neil, can you like imagine that people that collect wine, there's only so much space. Like even something that I do, I collect wine, and you only have so much space for it. So it's you're not even going to, you know, you're not going to ever drink that wine. Probably it might even, maybe you will, maybe you won't, but it's going to go, it's like art,
Right.
And so I can see it being stuff like that, where it's collections. It's almost like an investment in real estate, in art, that will just become more valuable over time. So it's really interesting.
No, we're talking to a brand that, I mean, talking to a couple of brands that a lot of their positioning is custom art around like fan generated concepts.
Yeah.
They take out to market and put as labels on their brands or products. And I think you're going to see, just to, like you said, Amanda, that these are going to be like art pieces that are really kind of those one of a kind. And because they will be limited in terms of the amount that you put out there. It's not like you just keep printing the t-shirt and they just keep going out to Target or Macy's or wherever they're available. But it's only a certain amount that are going to be out there. And the way you increase the value is to have scarcity. And so, you know, instead of, there may only be 10 of it, or it might just be one, you know, only one bottle of wine. You're the one who owns it. And that's where it's crazy to see what these valuations are.
Well, we'll have to have you back, because this is, we're just scratching the surface, really, of what NFTs are. And actually, you know, there's now NFTs for content creators, and they have their own, you know, NFTs themselves. And I think that there's going to be more and more on this. And actually, to disclose that we're working on a project right now, on the use of how brands use NFTs for marketing purposes. And so I think the bottom line is it's something that every brand should be thinking about, because if they don't, they're going to be missing out. And it's another way to increase your value, reach your audience.
And it's a new revenue stream too. It can build fan community. You're actually, I mean, how many other opportunities do you have to build that super fan community and be able to connect with them, have their email or have some kind of way to then market to them? You know, many times if they buy things in a store, you don't know who that is, but with the blockchain you do, and you will be able to follow that. And so you have this community of super fans that has actually also driven a new revenue stream for you, because this is all kind of new money. It's not anything that was a category prior to this year. So it's a great opportunity for brands.
Yeah, Doug, this is amazing. I think it just seems like there's a lot of money being left on the tables by not engaging in NFTs, even if it's a small audience now. Over time, as you said, I mean, I remember looking at the first MP3 player that only held like 8 songs, thinking, why bother? But obviously here we are today. So the music analogy is very appropriate. Doug, where can people reach out to, connect with you professionally or to check out your business website?
We're at chronicle.io. And if anybody wants to reach out, you can just reach me at doug@chronicle.io.
Perfect.
That's very generous of you to share your email. So thank you.
Happy to. Very generous of you to invite me on. I appreciate it. It's always fun to just kind of talk about it, especially this space, because it is a whiteboard right now. It's the Wild West. We don't know what's going to happen. And it's worth side conversations of what do we think it's going to be like in 6 months or a year or 5 years from now. And then you revisit that in a year and like, oh yeah, we were right. Or wow, things just completely are different. There's not too many opportunities in time where you can have those kind of conversations. And now is really kind of fun space to be in with NFTs specifically.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with #SchoolOfInfluence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.